Hope you have a bulletin and we'll follow along as we study together about a second chance. Aren't you glad that someone has offered you a second chance from time to time? In Mark chapter 16, you follow along as I read. Use a pew Bible or use your Bible. I'll be reading from the New International Translation. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell the disciples." Now, I want you to notice, then he includes two small words that make a world of difference. "But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." I remind you from time to time that every single word that God has given us in his word is important. He doesn't waste a one of them. They're all there for some specific meaning. And why did the angel emphasize that they go tell the disciples and Peter? What was the significance of that? I can imagine Jesus' message to the disciples being wonderful. But why this little emphasis, and Peter? Why not a word of antagonism? Why didn't he just go say, "Go tell the disciples and Herod," or Pilate, or Caiaphas, the high priest? Why didn't he do something like that? Why not a word of appreciation? Why not go tell the disciples and tell John? He stood there with me right through the crucifixion. No? Or go tell Joseph of Arimathea. He loaned me this tomb. It was really a cool tomb. Sorry, I don't need it anymore. Why not a word of affirmation like that? But no, his word of affirmation was a word to encourage someone. Someone that had miserably fallen. He knew Peter's heart, and he knew that this time of testing for Peter, he had given in. But he needed a second chance. He needed a new beginning. And that's what I like about Easter. I remember all the Easter egg hunts. Those were fun. I remember the good times where we would do as parents for the kids and as a kid for myself. I remember some great sunrise services. But there's something especially about Easter. Sometimes people that don't usually go. I was in a service with some deacon, I won't tell you where, but as people left that Easter service, he said, "By the way, happy Memorial Day, happy 4th of July to somebody, happy Thanksgiving to someone else." I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "They won't be back till next Easter," so I didn't want to miss a chance to wish him well for the rest of the year. But Peter was in need of a second chance. He needed some encouragement, and those two little words are there for him and Peter. And it speaks volumes, just those two little words. In your notes, I hope you'll jot down a few words. Number one, I want you to see that a second chance is possible. Put the word possible there. A second chance is possible. How is it possible? Write in this word, because of the resurrection. The second chance is possible because of the resurrection. If there were no resurrection, there'd be no good news, no gospel, no second chance. And to Peter, these words came like water to a thirsty man dying of thirst. How would you have felt? How would you, if you had been Peter, would you have felt if you had denied Jesus Christ, not just once, not just twice, but three times? And threw in a little cussing in to make it stick. That's what he was experiencing. So sad that he had disowned his Savior. Am I talking to anyone that has ever failed? Can I get a witness? Have you ever just let others down, let Jesus down, let ourselves down? Can you imagine when he heard those words? Maybe he was stunned. Maybe he said, what did you say? He included me, Peter? What a joy must have thrilled him at that moment, at a chance toward a second chance. You know, apart from the great theme of salvation, the Bible is a story of men and women who have been offered a second chance. Men and women throughout the ages that have had the opportunity of a second chance. When it came to a time in history that God wanted to free his people from the Pharaoh's slavery. Did you watch the movie last night, The Ten Commandments? What a story. Now, God chose a man who had failed, who had murdered someone, and stuck him off in the back of the woods in the desert tending sheep. But there he chose a man like him because he knew he could use him, and a second chance was possible. When we think about King David committed adultery, actually committed murder, saw that the husband of the woman with whom he committed adultery was killed. Who would have ever guessed that later on in his life he would have repented and come back to God and would have enjoyed a second chance? But as we read his prayer of repentance, we know that a second chance is possible. I couldn't help but think of Jonah. If you ever read that book over in the Old Testament, it's about the man that was swallowed by the whale. I kind of think it was a big fish. But he was off in another direction, but God gave him a second chance. And God is always taking those that have moved away from him in disobedience and dishonor and always offering to all of us a second chance. And before he heard those words of the second chance, he had wept so bitterly. He had gone out. And then the rooster crowed and reminded him of his denial. Imagine those sleepless nights as he dealt with what had gone on in those hours before. Now, you might say, well, I've never done a thing like that. He heard those words of encouragement. And we do too. But we might think we've never done a thing like that. But listen, and use this analogy. Has there ever been a time that you could have stood for right and done the godly thing and failed to do so? Has there ever been a time that you could have worked in a word of witness and encouraged somebody toward Jesus and you failed to do so? You may not have actively denied Jesus, but there are those passive things that we just let it slide. And it's happened probably to all of us. And if it has, I'm glad you're here, because Easter is a time of new beginnings. It's a time that this angel's message reminds all of us that there is a chance for a second chance. But I must go on to say that a second chance is not forced. It is not pushed on anyone. He does not force you to respond to his invitation. Judas did not. Do you remember the story of the rich young ruler? He did not respond. At least we don't know from Scripture that there is ever a response from the rich young ruler. Secular history says that Pontius Pilate was seen for years and years and years later still washing his hands over the guilt that he felt over murdering an innocent man. But I must be clear. The second chance is only for those men and women, not because of their religiosity, not because they do good things. And it's not for the ones that come with a lifestyle of sin, unwilling to turn from it, and think that coming to church on Christmas and Easter might just update their spiritual lives. No, the second chance is for people like Peter, who have repented and recognized their sin. They've wept bitterly for it. Some weeks ago, we studied this verse over in 2 Corinthians. It says, "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation." Godly sorrow, that brokenness, that repentance, brings salvation to our lives. But the Lord had a private meeting with Simon. Simon Peter, not because he was a sinner and needed forgiveness, no, that's part of it, but because he was penitent and sorrowful and brokenhearted. It was not because he was cursing and mean and needed God's mercy, but it was his tears, those tears of repentance that Simon Peter shed. And God is always there for someone who's truly repentant. Not just sorry that they got caught. Let me say that clearly. but because they are repentant with a broken heart, a second chance. If you haven't filled in the blank, that second blank, with R right there, put the word repentance. Because of the resurrection, we have the second chance, and through repentance, we may enjoy the second chance. And the world may not give us many second chances, but the good news is with God, there is always that opportunity. Just ask Simon. Just ask Simon. The angel said, be sure and tell Peter that he's not out. God's not through with him yet. He's going to be back up to bat. And wanted Peter to know that, listen, that failure is not fatal. Failure is not final. Failure does not make a flop. The moment does not make the man, and he had more to do with Simon Peter. So go tell the disciples and Peter. Secondly, Roman numeral 2, write down the word personal. The second chance is personal. I love the scripture and how Jesus tells us that everything he does for us is having to do with the individual. He loves us. The Bible says that he calls his sheep by their name. They know his voice. And it's a personal message. Go and tell the disciples, I'm so glad the angel didn't say, and Simon. Do you know the significance of that if he had said, and Simon? You see, when Jesus first met Simon Peter, his name was just Simon. And he called him by a Greek name. He said, you will be Peter. The Greek word is Petros, which means a rock. Jesus saw the huge potential in this big fisherman. And his BC life had been the shifting sands of a Simon. But his after his decision, his AD life of following Christ after was transformed, he was so different, he needed a new name. So Jesus called him Peter. But in those hours following the crucifixion, after his denial, most assuredly, he acted more like his old Simon self. And as he heard this message, you're supposed to tell the disciples, and Peter, the rock? How he must have thrilled. But he'd been listening to self-talk. Do you ever do that to yourself? He said, probably, I'm so rotten. I failed the Lord. I'm a failure. I've let Jesus down. But now he hears, go tell the disciples and the rock. Tell the rock that I am risen and I'm going before you to Jerusalem. It's one thing to believe in Jesus, but catch this difference. There is a world of difference knowing that someone believes in you. I mean, an employer that believes in his employee is going to get so much more out of his employee. A coach that believes in his player, that player is going to work so much harder for his coach. The father that believes in a son, that son is going so much farther than he normally would to make that father proud of him. And so Jesus saw the potential in Peter and sends this message. And in this one little verse, there's a powerful message to every one of you. And I want you and you and you to hear that he's not just saying, and Peter, also he's saying, I want you. I want you. I want you to know that my love for you will never fail. Failure is not final. And if your failure has been public, as Peter's was, or even private, so that no one else in this world knows about it, he still comes to you personally and privately. And he wants you to receive this message, and he wants you to be like Jesus, Peter, and take this message to others as we leave this place to change our world. Some of us are parents, others are grandparents in this room. We've been to those plays where our child has forgotten the words and we try to telepathically send them those words. We've been to the game where our kid's up to bat and we even lean into the swing to help him out, but they fail. And just as we fail in sin, and sin has its way in our lives, there is our Heavenly Father. He's pulling for us. And that's part of this message that Jesus is sending to Peter. I'm pulling for you. I want you back in the game. I want you to know that I love you and get back into this great drama of life. I love you, and I'm not through with you yet. Roman 3, the second chance is private. It's private. Now, there's not much scripture to talk about this. It's mentioned in Luke. It's mentioned in 1 Corinthians. But the Bible says that Jesus appeared first to Peter and then to the other disciples. We're not told about the meeting, But we're told that it was a private meeting. And after the resurrection, one of the first things he did was to meet privately with Peter. Now, there are some things so private and personal that even the scripture does not reveal those things to us, but we know it was a personal and private meeting. We know it took place, and I can only imagine some of the bitter tears. Here's a man, Peter, that usually talked too much, and now then he doesn't have anything to say other than, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." You say, "Pastor Gary, how do you know what he said?" I've been there. Many of you have too. You failed him so miserably, and then you come back to him and you're sorry. "I'm sorry, I failed, I've let you down." And we remember the tenderness and the sweetness of Jesus' forgiveness as he receives us. Dear church member, and let me say this to our guests that are here today. We're glad you're here. Please come back. Please come back regularly. But more importantly, than you coming into this room is the relationship you have with him, where you can go to him privately and quietly and regularly, and I say daily, and in his presence, pour out that grief that you have over the sin and receive his love through your prayer and his word. Confess that ugliness that stands between you and the master. Stay in his presence and receive his tender mercy and his forgiveness regularly, daily. It's a private thing, and it should be a private thing, but it's a second chance. And then lastly, the second chance is profitable. Oh, and I love this idea. It's profitable. This meeting with Peter transformed his life. He went on to be the great, powerful preacher of Pentecost, from being that sorry, sad sack. God changed his life. And I can't help, as I read through Scripture, we see time and time again that he says things like, "I can't help but speak out of the things that I've seen and heard." We see him beaten and imprisoned in jail. And he didn't feel that he was even worthy to be counted worthy for Christ. He suffered because of those two words, "and Peter." They speak volumes to us. But we all seem to have a way of remembering failures more than successes, don't we? Many years ago, many miles away, I know some church members that if they had been tasked with sending out this message, it would have been something like, "Now go tell the disciples, but forget about Peter." Have you ever known anyone like that? "Why, he tried to walk on water. He failed miserably. Why, he denied Jesus. Did you know he denied Jesus three times?" Don't include Peter. But that's not the way Jesus offers invitations, is it? He opens things up and he enables us to get up again. He makes our lives profitable. And that's the rest of the story. Peter went on to live a profitable life. He went on to live a faithful life until his death. In fact, when they came to crucify him, he would not even let them crucify him on a cross that was upright, only a cross that was upside down. Because he did not feel worthy to be crucified in the same manner as his Lord. As I said in the beginning of this message, the Bible's a book full of stories of people offered a second chance. But it's also full of stories of those who humbled themselves and responded positively to a second chance. Do you remember the prodigal son who went off and wasted his inheritance? Then came running back to his father, was going to humble himself, just as Jesus comes to Peter and Peter humbles himself. Do you remember Abram in the Old Testament, who lied several times, at least two of them we have in Scripture, lied to save his skin, but later on God actually changed his name from Abram, now listen to this, to add that guttural H to his name. The letters that we pronounce the word Yahweh, there are four little letters, but two of them are Yahweh. And God took that H of Yahweh and added it to Abram to make it Abraham and changed his life and gave him a new name. He did that to King David. After King David was convicted of his sin and repented of his sin, God used him and calls him a man after God's own heart. John Mark, you may not realize it, but he's the one that wrote this Gospel of Mark that we just read from. John Mark, on his first mission trip, mission opportunity, mission position, he failed miserably and went home. But later on, God knew he had blown it, but used him in spite of the fact with a second chance to write the very gospel of Mark. Dear friend, whatever you have done, it is not enough to keep God from offering you another chance, to offer you a second chance, a third chance. One poet wrote, "I wish there were some wonderful place called the land of beginning again, where all our mistakes and all our heartaches, all of our selfish grief, could be dropped like a shabby old coat by the door and never be put on again." Dear friend, there is a place of a new beginning, and it exists at the feet of Jesus. For that person that will humble himself or herself and ask forgiveness and commit him herself to Jesus and promise to live for him. There's a song that I enjoy singing that talks about Peter's experience. And since we're going to have some special music today, I hope you will indulge me. I wanted to sing one of my favorites just to get the special music started.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the cross. And if you've never known Him, it's possible through the resurrection. It's possible through repentance. And we wanted to give you a chance on this beautiful Easter morning, just in the moments as we close this portion of the service before the praise team comes and blesses us. Would you bow with me in prayer? And every one of us, no matter where we are in our spiritual journey, we're somewhere along that continuum of either not knowing Him, coming to know Him, living for Him, or in that process, drifting away. Easter is a day of new beginnings. And I can't think of a better day in this world to recommit your life to Jesus. He is alive. In the quietness of this moment, we offer a time of invitation. Should you want to do that, should you just want to come and pray with one of us, Brother Jerry, David, and I will be here if you'd like to come. If you've never come to know Him personally and you'd like to give your life to Him, we'd love to talk with you about that after the service, but you let us know right now. Our pews are spaced far apart. If you'd like to slip out and come and pray, we're not going to sing. Won't be any standing or moving around. But this is a time for you to make a decision. Please just ask you to continue in an attitude of prayer. Christians praying for anyone that might need to make a decision for Jesus. If there is a decision to follow Him in believer's baptism, unite yourself with this church, you come and share with us. And again, if it's just to come and pray and renew yourself to Him, you come and do that during these moments. We'll wait for you. These moments, you come.